Reed Martin, how excited are you about these San Francisco Giants?
Words cannot express. They have not won a World Series since before I was born.
Not in our lifetimes. Matt Rippey, how upset are you about the Texas Rangers losing the World Series to San Francisco Giants?
Absolutely gutted. But then again, you know, as a consolation prize, we beat the Yankees.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 205, Castoffs and Misfits. As promised last week, this week we are basking in the glory of the San Francisco Giants winning the World Series for the first time in over a half century. So for those of you who, like me in the sports show, take a nap during discussions of baseball, enjoy your snooze. But for those of you who had your snooze during last week's podcast about Starship Captains, enjoy.
Somebody tweeted that, hey, George Bush, how you like San Francisco now? Well, he never much cared for San Francisco, so I can't imagine that he hates it any worse.
I don't think he could, yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure he cares one way or the other.
In fact, I think I blame Bush for Texas' loss, because, you know, he used to be manager, right, or owner of that team.
Yeah,
and I think he jinxed us.
Well, I think, when they're talking about his past mistakes, he never confessed to any mistakes.
Well, not as president, although as the owner of the Rangers, he did trade away Sammy Sosa.
So,
which he, to his credit, jokes about.
Yeah, to his credit. And in fairness, Matt Rippey, you probably don't have much good things to say about George Bush anyway.
No. In fact, I don't really have much to say in this podcast because I'm a latecomer to this baseball thing. I only started watching with Game 1 of the World Series.
It was so funny. Like, the Giants win, Matt, and then you go, oh, man, you've ruined baseball for me. I'm not going to be a fan anymore. And I go, well, it was only like 4 days that you were a fan.
But you were, it was a very exciting 4 days for you as a baseball fan.
It was.
And I'm a fair weather fan at best of times. I really only start to pay attention during the playoffs. And the fact that it was the Giants made me that much more interested. But I wasn't so interested that on Sunday night, on Halloween night, I turned away from the baseball game and watched The Walking Dead on AMC.
Good for you.
You gotta stick to my strengths.
Yeah,
I don't want to betray who I am, you know?
Yeah. Well, see, the only game that we won was the night that I didn't watch on Saturday, because I was at a Halloween dress-up party.
Oh.
So, and I didn't ever used to think of myself as a superstitious person, but then I think before the series started, I emailed Reed saying, Reed, predictions for the series? And Reed said, well, I don't want to jinx it, so I'll say Texas in the seventh, in seven games. And he said, how about you? And I wrote back going, well, I don't know if this jinxing thing works, but I'm going to go with the Giants in seven games. But then I got in my head about it. Should I not have watched any of the games and we would be talking differently?
Well, by that logic, for the last 20 years, the Rangers should have won every single game they played because you didn't watch any of them.
Right, that's true.
Well, and you've been emotionally invested in this for a very long time, so this is a really happy news.
Well, I told Campbell and Kean, my two sons who were 10 and 12, I said, you know, if the Giants win, Daddy is probably going to cry. And in the last game, Renteria hit their home run, and they called me. They said, Dad, are you crying? And I said, I really can't say.
I've got something in my eye. I don't know what it is.
So what would have happened had they lost? What, would you have gone ballistic?
Well, you know, you sort of... some part of me just never thought they would really do this.
Yeah.
You know, I've been my first... I followed them as long as I can remember on the radio. My Auntie Peggy used to listen to the Giants games, and then I went to my first game, I think, in 1969, and Gaylord Perry, who ended up in the Hall of Fame.
You know Gaylord Perry. Duh.
I never heard of him. Yeah, Luke Perry's father.
Yes, right.
And, you know, and Willie McCovey's at first base, and Willie Mays is in center field. And so, and I've just been going ever since then. They've been to the World Series in 62. And lost. I don't remember that one. 89 was the Earthquake Series. They got swept by the A's in four games. In 2002, they were in the if they won the sixth game, they were going to win the championship. And they were up by like six runs in the seventh inning and swaddled the olive, as they say. And then lost it. You know, so you just go, you know, something. It's a week later. And I wake up in the morning and go, this didn't really happen, did it? I mean, the playoffs are still going. There's still a chance for them to lose, isn't there?
Well, two things about that. One is that when I was a kid and really following baseball, I was a fan of the A's because I grew up in Piedmont, which is a suburb of Oakland, and so the Oakland A's were my team. And also, they were a dynasty in the 70s.
They were the last real dynasty, I would argue, because they're the last team to win three World Series in a row, 72, 73, 74.
Well, and I wasn't a fan of them because they were a dynasty. I just thought, this is cool. My team wins every year. How awesome is that? But the second point about what you were just saying is, really, there was a guy in the San Francisco Giants named Gaylord? How awesome is that?
That's right on point.
That was a shout out to all our third grade listeners. Who would think that that is hysterical? But do you get? You're not a superstitious guy. Do you get superstitious around the playoffs?
Yeah, a little bit. Not overly.
Go on. What's this little?
Oh yeah, there is that thing. Yeah, we've got this thing which I got from a clown friend of mine when I was on the circus, mm-hmm. and he had this thing when he wanted his team to score or do well, he'd do this. Exactly three times.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and so that's sort of my weird superstitious thing, and you know. It works.
But it works. Somebody hit a home run, didn't it? Renteria or somebody?
Yeah, and that inning where they scored a bunch of, against the Rangers. And then Kian, my younger son, was just trying to sort of play with me. And so then he added a fourth very soft. And then the Giants scored like seven runs in the inning. And so I've added a quiet fourth.
So it's Kian's fault.
Yes. Yes.
Well, if you're going to be superstitious, you have to be logical about it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh, yes. Very much
now,
so.
Now, what about the guy? There was a guy. Who's the thong? What's there's the beard. Respect the beard. Brian Wilson.
Fear the beard. Brian Wilson grew this beard and then colored it in, although he says he didn't, but come on.
Yeah.
And then Aubrey Huff's wife gave him a red thong, which he at some point, I think, in the season, and he wore it like every game. Uh-huh. And then in front of City Hall with, you know, all the dignitaries there. He did it. What is it? A Zoolander thing? I never saw a Zoolander, but he reached into his pants and like pulled out the thong as if he were wearing it.
Thong? What are we talking?
A thong. Like a G-string.
As in butt floss?
Like a dance belt.
Butt floss.
Yeah.
Butt floss? Really?
Yeah.
No wonder he had that little twinkle in his eye on the mouth.
But that's right out of Bull Durham. You know, Tim Robbins is told to wear garters underneath his uniform because that's going to help him keep his eye off the game because he'll always be a little off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And the whole team, they call them a team of cast-offs and misfits. Not the pitching staff. This pitching staff was young and dominant. But the everyday players were guys, you know, who a lot of people didn't want. Some people maybe thought they didn't have all the skills they needed or they were washed up. And so the pitching was dominant and they scored just enough. But the team...
They scored a lot off the Rangers.
In the World Series they did.
Oh, yeah,
but as a series long and in the playoffs before that, they didn't. But it's a team that really fits the character of San Francisco. Because they're just... quirky.
Yeah.
And it's in other cities they'd go, oh, those guys are kooky. In San Francisco, they just fit in.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's exactly. And a million people showed up for the parade in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I got to watch it on MLB TV. I was out of town, but I got to watch it on the computer. Mm-hmm. And you could see the players' faces. They were just blown away. And the national media, I think, was blown away. Right. When all was said and done, the national media said, you know, these fans are like East Coast fans. We make fun of West Coast fans, but really we're making fun of Los Angeles Dodger fans who arrive late and leave early and don't seem all that passionate.
Yes, I do.
Yes. And so, it was just, it's fantastic. And I called home today and said, you know, every morning I'm just waking up and I just feel a little bit happier.
There's a bounce in your step.
Yes, exactly.
Well, it's just no fair because you guys also, you're quirky and colorful out there, but you also had the backing of a great theme song, you know, Don't Stop Believing with Steve Perry on
from
your
side. San Francisco.
From San Francisco, Journey singer, right? Well, and then
Five minutes.
Thank you, 5 minutes, Michael J.
And I just want to say, to prepare for my first foray as a stage manager this week, I've been wearing Depends all week.
Okay, but this is not fair because then back in Texas, I saw that Don't Believe It, and so I YouTubed to see what our theme was, our Rangers, the World Series theme, and it was some guy in his living room wrote his own song to some country tune that was really kind of lame. No offense, guy, but it was lame. You got Steve Perry. We got a guy in his living room jamming on
You guys have a clapping thing, too, right? The stars at night are big and bright. But it didn't work as well as our clapping thing. But at the Giants game, Steve Perry, they were playing the Don't Stop Believin', and on the broadcast, they cut to Steve Perry, who's a fan and a season ticket holder, mouthing along to his own song. How cool is that?
That is very cool.
I'm Rebecca Corral with KCBS, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? This is our final week at Jubilee Hall in Singapore, where we're performing The Complete History of America Abridged and Completely Hollywood Abridged. And next week will be our final performances of 2010 at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania, and the Eisenman Center in Richardson, Texas. But we'll be back with a vengeance in January 2011. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific venue and ticket information.
Now, you were talking about cast-offs and misfits.
Yes.
The Giants are. Is that a little bit like the Lakers, about like in the way that Phil Jackson takes these guys from other teams who haven't worked, who haven't played, who haven't turned out to be so great for other teams, but somehow they work in this system? Is that kind of how it's worked with the Giants?
I don't think the Lakers are thought of that way, because, I don't know, the Lakers and the Celtics are sort of like the Yankees and Dodgers of the NBA.
Right, but I think of the depth of their bench. Right. They've got good players all the way down. Like the Lakers this season they're talking about, they've got a 14-man squad. But
right.
You know what I mean? Role players, I guess is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Jackson is good at getting people to work together. One of the reasons they're bench is deep is because they got a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah,
right, but right. No, but Phil Jackson is good at that. And I thought the Giants this year were a great example for youth sports coaches and also kids who play sports to say this was not the most talented, certainly offensive team, but it was selfless. And they rooted for each other. There were no egos. There was good rapport in the locker room. And everybody said it was just a great group to be around. And they just they never lost heart.
But there's something about it. I mean, I don't know anything about putting together a sports team because I never done it. But it seems like it would be like casting a show. You want the right vibe. You want the right energy amongst the team, right? I mean, and this is a good example of that.
Well, it is. And it's the debate about, do you go for an ensemble?
Yeah.
Or do you go for a star? Well, the Giants' most recent success was with Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
And they never did win the World Series. They could have. It's the way it went.
Right.
But in the San Francisco Bay Area media, they keep saying, without really saying his name, well, you know, there's no egos in the dressing room. Nobody has their own locker, you know, back in the back corner with their giant TV and their special chair that nobody's supposed to mess with. And, you know, it can work either way.
Yeah.
You can have a big Broadway hit with a big star who's maybe a prima donna.
Right.
Probably not as fun for everybody else.
Yeah, the ensemble keeps changing because who wants to be part of that?
Yeah. And the guys on the Giants who were very good, all-stars, Tim Lincecum, Brian Wilson, Buster Posey is a rookie. Maybe he doesn't have the right to get a big head, but he's probably going to be a star.
Right.
They were very down to earth, so that the few people who were sort of names made it easy for everybody else just to fit in.
And these are future Hall of Famers, possibly future divas.
Maybe. Yeah. Lincecum's been an all-star. Wilson's been an all-star. But it's just too early to tell. Lots of people have three or four good years and then blow out their arm or who knows what.
Right.
I was talking about AT&T Park is such a fantastic place to go see a game on the bay there. And the city of San Francisco just looks like the Emerald City on TV. It's it's fantastic. It could not look better. And McCovey Cove and the boats out there.
Right.
But there's a deep feeling of satisfaction having gone to Candlestick Park from 1969 till 1999 and going with crowds of 1,500 people, 2,000 people, maybe 3,000. Well, that's a pretty big crowd.
Yeah.
You know, where they might draw 500,000 in a season. Now they draw over 3 million.
Right.
And so there's a million people at the parade, but I take some kind of satisfaction about, well, I think most of these people have probably become fans in the last 10 years, which is great, but I have a very deep satisfaction.
Right.
I was there when nobody was there and the team was terrible.
Or some of us who've only become fans in the last 10 weeks.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that's good too.
Yeah.
That's
good. It's great. I mean, bandwagon fans are great. I mean, it also seems like Barry Bonds actually has, and Willie Mays, some of the former greats, the former stars, have been really celebratory. They've been part of the celebration, of this winning team, right?
The Giants are as good as any professional sports organization at drawing on their heritage as a marketing thing and just keeping those guys around. I think it's also good for the current players that, well, here's The Giants have many living Hall of Famers.
Right.
Monty Irvin, going back to the New York Giants, Mays, McCovey, Gaylord Perry, Juan Marichal, Orlando Cepeda, and they bring these guys back. And then they also bring back guys who are maybe not Hall of Famers, but from their previous championship teams, the 89 championship team and the 2002 National League champions. And so I think part of it's marketing, but also just part of, you know, it's the Giants' way.
Well, and I wonder, I mean, because this is huge news. I mean, my brother's a much bigger baseball fan than I am, so he was very excited about the Giants. And our brother-in-law is even bigger Giants fan. He's huge. And his parents, in their 80s now, still take public transit from the East Bay over to see the games. I'm not sure if they go to all the games, but they must be over the moon because they've waited a very long time. Are we going to see amongst San Francisco Giants fans the same thing we saw amongst Red Sox fans? People beginning to die because now they can.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it happened.
I'm planning to hang around for a while, but I can't speak for anyone else.
I mean, there's a bunch of old people that, I mean, literally, my wife Dee from Boston was crying when the Red Sox won. She doesn't care about baseball, but she knows how important it is to all those people who do care about it. And we're going, these people can now die. And they're in their 90s, and they've been hanging on.
Yeah, maybe so. We'll have to look at the statistics in the next few months.
Well, and I feel lucky because when I lived in Boston, I was in walking distance of Fenway Park, one of the great places to see a baseball game. When I lived in Chicago, we were walking distance to Wrigley Field, another great. So is the Chicago Cubs now the last drought team, the last team to have not won something in a very long time?
Well, there are four teams who you would say it's probably quite significant. Right. The Cubs are the longest. I think it's over 100 years since they won the World Series. The Cleveland Indians last won it in 1951, so they're at 59 years.
Okay.
Interestingly, you know, I always think of the Texas Rangers as a new team, but they started in 1960 as a new version of the Washington Senators.
Oh.
The previous version of the Washington Senators became the Minnesota Twins.
Okay.
You can all go to sleep now. So between their starting in 1960, Washington Senators, and then they moved to Texas in 1972. The Rangers have been around 50 years and have never won a World Series.
Mm.
And I think the Astros, the two Texas teams, it's been about, since they came into existence, maybe about that time, maybe a year or two later, and they haven't won it. So the Astros, Rangers, Indians, and Cubs are the four longest teams that haven't won.
Both Texas and San Francisco had some glory in football.
Yeah.
But now at least San Francisco's getting the glory in baseball.
Yeah. I got to say, a friend of mine, I found out, got to ride in the parade, the victory parade down Market Street. The Giants sent players two by two on these trolley cars. And then, as you were asking about the old players, they had several carloads of Hall of Famers and Giants of the past. And a friend of mine knew, I don't know, I guess he knew who was driving the thing or something. Woody LeBounty. To you, I went to clown college with. He Facebooks me. He says, I got to ride with Jeffrey Hackman Leonard and Rich Aurelia and Jimmy Davenport, who was the Giants' third baseman in the old days, and Bill Lasky and Mike Felder. And nobody knows these names unless you're a Giants fan. But I go, that was the most awesome thing ever. That's great.
The excitement is palpable coming off Reed right now. You can feel it coming through the microphone. That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your rally thong via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews at our podcast page on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at Facebook. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, still waiting Cub fan Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. You also heard an excerpt from the Giants' 2010 anthem, Don't Stop Believin' by Ashcon. Watch the video and download the whole song at whitecollarbrawler.com. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Sarf Londonman. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Rebecca Corral from KCBS News Talk in San Francisco. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 205 615ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Do you have any suggestions how our beloved California Golden Bears can find some cast-offs and misfits and turn themselves into a Rose Bowl-winning team?
I don't know. But this is what I thought about the Giants until a week ago. I said this is never going to happen, so who knows? Hope springs eternal.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.